you in the sanctuary to go with us to the book of St. Mark, the first chapter. They're excited to go. Amen. Mark chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 1. Amen. Second book of the New Testament. Amen. The Gospel according to St. Mark. Mark chapter 1, when you found it, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. Again, glad for everybody that's here tonight. Amen. I want to welcome you. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to read some familiar scripture, amen, about a familiar part of the New Testament, amen. We're going to maybe take a little different approach with it tonight, but amen, praise the Lord. We're going to nonetheless be obedient to what the Lord has placed on our hearts. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, everybody got it, say amen.
Amen.
The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. Amen. Going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word tonight. Amen. Let's bless him. Praise God for the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. We bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. If the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this thought. Don't wait until you're out to shout. Amen. Don't wait until you're out to shout. Look at your neighbor and say that. Don't wait until you're out to shout. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The wilderness lasts longer. Amen. Than you want it to. Amen. Praise God. It lasts longer than we desire, than we want it to. Amen. And I can tell you tonight, amen, I am a witness of that. Praise God. And the wilderness is a place of desolation, a place, amen, where there is not a lot of life. Is it a place, amen, where things are few and far between, amen, with the signs of life. Praise God. And you know, I've been in some great worship services and have experienced the presence of God, but was still in the wilderness when I got home, amen. Felt his presence, amen, but still, when I got home, I've still been in the wilderness. I preached, amen, under the anointing, amen, making biblical proclamations and praying with people for their breakthroughs. But when I went to bed, amen, praise God, I went with a heavy heart because I was still in a wilderness, amen. I have counseled with people, amen, giving them the truth, amen, the biblical truth, trying to encourage them to press in, to press through, to continue going, amen, only to be in a place of spiritual coldness and desolation myself, amen, because we can't decide when we go in the wilderness and we can't decide when we come out of the wilderness, amen. But you see, that gives us hope to know that we can't decide when we go in or when we go out. That gives us hope because if God has allowed us to go in, then he will bring us out, amen. And I will say me, he will bring me out, amen, with a greater fervor, a greater vision, a greater power, a greater purpose, amen, and a greater anointing, amen.
Praise God. So that gives us hope tonight that we can't decide when it's over. We can't decide when it begins and when it ends. Amen. I've also received texts and I've received messages of sincere words of encouragement at moments of impeccable timing when I've been in the wilderness. Amen. Words. Amen. That were just right on time. Amen. Praise God. But I've also received messages and texts, amen, of critical words, of discouragement, amen, that laying out my flaws, amen, based on some preconceived notions or based upon some things that they thought they knew, amen, that were also moments of impeccable timing, amen. They could not have come at any worse time, amen, when you're in the wilderness, amen, but I've found God to be faithful. Amen. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. I'm talking tonight, amen, to those who are here, amen, tonight, who have been in the wilderness for a while. Amen. I'm not talking about a couple months. Amen. But I'm talking about for a while. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in here tonight, amen, that the Lord is speaking to? Amen. You're struggling to survive in those places, amen, where there's uncultivated fields and where there's literally no signs of life. Amen. The wilderness is filled with loneliness. The wilderness, amen. You feel like no one understands the dysfunction, amen, that you're experiencing. They can try to give you words based on what they think they understand. Amen. But those words, hallelujah, just don't seem to make that much of a difference. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Praise God. But here's what I understand about the wilderness. When we worship, hallelujah, we give God the invitation to come down, amen, and to inhabit where we are. And if we worship Him, amen, and invite Him to come down where we are, the Bible says that He will dwell with our circumstances. Oh, come on, somebody, I feel my help. Hallelujah, tonight. Amen. He will dwell with our circumstances. You see, not everybody understands what it's like to be abused. Not everyone understands what it's like to go through a divorce. Not everybody understands what it's like to be addicted. Not everybody will understand what it's like to be a victim of domestic violence. Not everybody's going to understand, amen, the things that you have experienced. Amen. Some of the things that may have brought you, amen, or taken you, or allowed you to go into the wilderness. Not everybody's going to get it. But you see, there's one thing, amen, that we all have in common. Hallelujah. It's when we have, hallelujah, we all, amen, we may have went through different things. You may not understand some of the things that I have went through. I may not have went through some of the things that you have went through, so I can't understand it. But you see, we all, amen, do have in common. What we all have in common is that we have free access to a loving God. Hallelujah. Who will give us hope, peace, joy, and redemption. So you may not know what I've been through. You may not understand the things that I'm feeling. You may not understand why my emotions are the way they are. But this we do have in common. Hallelujah, that we all can call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when we call upon His name, hallelujah, He will answer and He will rescue those who want to be rescued. I'm glad tonight that I still want to be rescued. I'm glad tonight that I still know my Redeemer lives. I may not understand this wilderness that I'm in. I may not understand, hallelujah, the gravity of what God is doing in the wilderness. But this I do know. He loves me unconditionally. And if he will keep me, he's going to bring me through. And if he brings me through, he's going to bring me out. And if he's going to bring me out, he's going to grow me. And if he's going to grow me, then he's going to show me. And if he's going to show me anything, it's going to be more of who he is and his glory. I'm just laying a foundation tonight. See, in the wilderness, we feel desperation. In the wilderness, we can feel defeat. Amen? In the wilderness, we can feel misunderstood. How many's ever felt misunderstood? Man, we live in a culture and in a time where, amen, the accessibility to one another and the ease of being misunderstood is prevalent. Amen. Praise God. Through social media and through the internet. Amen. See, in the wilderness, we can feel empty. Amen. In the wilderness, we can feel void. Amen. Of emotions. We can get to the place. Amen. To where we don't have a lot of emotion, even in the wilderness. Amen. We can become desensitized to the pain. Amen. I'm talking about, amen, those of you that understand about being in the wilderness. You've not been there just for a couple of weeks or even a few months, but it's been a while. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm speaking to some folks tonight in the wilderness. See, when we're in the wilderness, it can make our spirit feel closed off from God. It can make our spirit feel closed off from his presence. So that when we pray, it's like our words are hitting this wooden podium. Amen. And they fall flat. Amen. And there's no return. Amen. There's no reciprocation. So it feels. Praise God. Amen. And then when our emotions, amen, praise God, become a void, amen, we become desensitized to the pain. We can become so familiar with it that we allow it to identify with us. And if we're not careful, it can become part of who we are. But you see, in the wilderness, for some of us, we feel like we have to be strong. Amen? We feel like that we can't show that we're struggling. We feel like we can't let it be known. We can't give anybody a clue that we're struggling. So we come in, amen, and we put on our face, and we put on our church face, and we put on our worship, amen, robe, and we lift our hands, and we sometimes we go through the motions because you know, we don't want anyone to think that we are struggling, amen, and so much so that you know, messages. The messages can be preached and they can be right in line with where you are and what you're going through. Amen. But we won't even, praise God, respond to the message that's been preached or go to the altar because we don't want anybody to think, amen, that we are experiencing, hallelujah, that this troubled time or this wilderness. Because you see, I don't know anybody that wants to be in the wilderness. I've never met anybody in all of my Christian walk, amen, that wants to be in the wilderness. I've never had a discussion with someone who's, amen, been, amen, experienced breakthrough and said, oh, I can't wait to go in the wilderness. I just want to be in the wilderness. That's just where I want to be, amen. If they have, I've missed it, praise God. But I don't know of anyone that wants to be in the wilderness, amen. But you see, I've come tonight to let you know that I've been there. I've been in the wilderness, and it's been more than days. It's been more than weeks. It's been more than months. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's lasted longer than a year. I've been in a wilderness. Amen. Praise God. I pray, as I told you. Amen. You can stand up. Praise God. And you can preach under the anointing. You can walk in the gifts and the callings. Amen. But then when you walk off and you go back, amen, to your home and you lay down at night, you're still in the wilderness. Amen. You're still in that place. Hallelujah. And you see, sometimes when we're in the wilderness, amen, we can feel like that we've done something wrong, or there's something we aren't doing. Amen. Is there something that I'm not doing that I should be doing that's brought me to this place of desolation? Have I done something, amen? Have I missed something that has brought me to this place? Amen, where the fields are uncultivated. Amen, where there's really not a whole lot of signs of a life. Amen, where there's really not a place, amen, to rest. Hallelujah, we can feel like, amen, that maybe we have messed up, and we can go back, praise God, and we'll often go back, and we'll look back, and we'll summarize, amen, amen, maybe I'm the only one that does that. I'm an analytical thinker, amen, so I got to shut my thinking off, amen. I have to manually say, stop thinking, turn it off, because it can get way out there and become ridiculous, amen. But that's how the enemy will make, amen, build strongholds in your mind, because the farther out you get, amen, the farther you get away from the whole truth. And then as you venture out, amen, praise God, in those thoughts and that thinking, then there's going to be some untruth, there's going to be a little lie, that's going to be twisted in there that the enemy's going to put in there, and then you're going to start believing. Amen. You see, it started out with some truth, because the truth is you're there. The truth is you don't understand. The truth is that you're not certain what's going on. The truth is you're trying to figure out and examine what is it that I can do or that I should do that will make a difference in this situation and the circumstances. But the more that you let your thoughts go. See, that's what happened in the garden. Hallelujah. Then what we don't realize is that when the enemy builds that, makes that stronghold in our mind, a stronghold is built off of a lie. And so now we're believing that little lie. And then we, if we're not careful, we'll keep thinking and going out a little bit farther with our thoughts, and we'll expand on it. Amen. And then we're now believing another lie. Now there's another little lie. Amen. That he's twisted in there, even though there's still truth. Hallelujah. And what happens is we don't realize that we now are playing God. Now we are acting as God, as the judge. Amen. That's deciding what is right and what is wrong. Amen. Praise God. So what you got to do is you got to go back. Amen. To where the truth was. Amen. And you just got to shut it off. I learned to just turn off the thought. I learned to just talk out loud to myself. I learned to say, Holy Ghost, capture that right there. Take that. I cast that down. I don't receive that. That's not the will of God. If it is, he'll show me later. But for now, I'm not going to entertain it. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. So when we're in the wilderness, amen, you begin to survey and summarize and think back and look at all that you've given, all that you've done, all that you've said, all that you might have said, all that you might have done. Amen. And won't the enemy take you there and say, well, maybe you said this, or maybe somebody think that, or maybe you did this, or maybe it was like that. And then it'll cause all these little things, amen, to rise up. Amen. That don't matter. Amen. But they now become part of that truth. Hallelujah. That you are starting to believe. So I know tonight what it's like to have, amen, your mind working. Amen. I know what it's like to wake up in the middle of the night and your mind be racing. Amen. And then when you do go to sleep, amen, your conscience won't shut up. So you're dreaming stupid. Amen. And your dreams are even, amen, causing chaos and confusion your mind, and then when you wake up, you might find yourself trying to figure out, amen, did that mean something? Was that God? Amen. And if you're not careful, hallelujah, you'll start interpreting things that are not God. Amen. But they're really the flesh. Are you with me tonight? I don't know who I'm talking to. Hallelujah. But I've been there. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. Because there's been times when I've woke up in the middle of the night. Hallelujah. And before I had a chance, amen, to say or think anything, the Holy Ghost has been speaking through me on my behalf, interceding, amen, on my behalf. Oh, come on, somebody, do you hear me? I've been in dreams, amen, in my dreams where I knew I needed to call on the name of Jesus, and I knew I was being attacked by the enemy, but I always, amen, my mouth always gets frozen, and I can never get it out. I'm thankful tonight for the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, that's always, hallelujah, got my back. Oh, come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. Paul, hallelujah, Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, the enemy lusts after your place. He desires your position. He desires your potential. And he lusts after you. And he wants to sit you like weak. But I've been praying for you, Peter. I've been calling out your name. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. So every text and message that I get that brings critical words, that brings words of discouragement, there's somebody already praying on my behalf. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm talking to somebody who understands, hallelujah, what it's like to be in the wilderness. John was in the wilderness. We think sometimes the enemy will make us feel like we're being punished because we're in the wilderness. But my mind today went to the book of John when Jesus stepped in the Jordan River and John was baptizing him. See, Mark tells that John the Baptist was baptizing. Amen. People were coming in and they were confessing their sins in the water. They were being baptized. Amen. As a confession. And amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But John said, there's one that comes after me. See, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me. Amen. Who will baptize you. Amen. With Holy Ghost. And with fire. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Amen. So not only will you be saved, but you'll be kept. Come on, do you hear me? Not only will you be made righteous, but you'll be able to live it out. Hallelujah, because of the power and the fire that he's bringing with him. Amen. Praise God. But my mind went, what happened when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River? Hallelujah. The Bible says that the dove came down and rested on his shoulder, and heaven opened, and from heaven came the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom what? I am well pleased. But then the Bible says, immediately after he came out of the water, the Spirit took him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So I want to remind you today, hallelujah, that God will allow wildernesses even when he is pleased with us. Now, come on, somebody. So it ain't about what we're doing wrong. We're not in the wilderness because of what we've done wrong. We're in the wilderness because of what we're doing right. Oh, come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Jesus, he said, I am well pleased. But immediately the Spirit took him there to be tempted of the devil. It's not what's wrong with you, but it's what's right with you. Oh, come on now. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. I ain't gonna keep it long. No, don't mistaken. Don't be mistaken. Our disobedience and our rebellion will land you in the wilderness. It will take you to a place of desolation. Amen. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. That's a different message. Hallelujah. Come on, are you with me? Hallelujah. See, it's when the pain isn't working against you, but it's working for you. That's why the enemy wants us to become desensitized to the pain. He wants us to become familiar with the contentment of the wilderness. So the pain that you're experiencing, the resistance that you're facing, the opposition that you are encountering, isn't working against you, but it's actually working for you. So I want to talk to some of you tonight and let you know it's not because of what's wrong with you that you're in the wilderness, but it's because of what's right with you. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What a pinnacle to be. To hear what's all of our greatest desire? Well done. Thy good and faithful servant. In whom I am well pleased. Oh, to hear those words from the Creator tonight, from our Father. I'm well pleased with you. But to know that even when He's pleased with us, we still will be taken into the wilderness. Hallelujah. Verse 3 says that John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That word crying in the Hebrew is the word ba'al. In the Hebrew translations, other translations literally translate it. It literally means it's not the crying as in tears, but it literally means shouting or to shout out. So the voice of one shouting in the wilderness. Not crying, oh woe is me, God help me, and I don't understand this. Nothing wrong with crying and tears in the wilderness. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying tonight. But it says that his crying in the wilderness prepared the way of the Lord. It prepared the road of the Lord's coming. Or in other words, his shouting prepared the road for the Lord's coming, to where he said, behold, when he came walking. Remember, Jesus was only 6 months younger than his cousin John the Baptist. Hallelujah. So there was not a whole lot of difference in their age. Amen. Praise God. And they were actually born in the same year. Amen. So they were only 6 months apart. And so he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. So the shout. You see, sometimes the shout will pull the future into the present. Amen. So John's shouting, the shout that John was... Getting in the wilderness was pulling the future into the present. Here he comes. Here comes the way. Here comes the truth. The truth is coming. Amen. Redemption is coming. Healing is coming. Salvation is coming. Deliverance is coming. Hope is coming. I'm just preparing the road. He's just a little ways behind me, but he's coming. And the shout prepared, amen, the road. It was pulling the future into the present. And I want to talk to you tonight for just a minute about the shout in the wilderness. See, the shout in your wilderness is preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. It's preparing the way for the Lord to show up. It's pulling the future into your present. That even though in the present tense you are in the wilderness, you might be experiencing loneliness. You might be experiencing rejection. You might be experiencing, amen, amen, painful things. Hallelujah. But when the worship, amen, goes up despite what you're feeling. Remember what we said when we worship. Amen, no matter where we are, it invites him to come down. It gives him an invitation to show up. And he will dwell, literally as it's interpreted, he will dwell with our circumstances. He will set up his throne right in the midst of your wilderness. So the shout, hallelujah, even though in the present tense you're feeling, amen, the effects of the wilderness, the shout, amen, prepares the coming of the Lord to show up, amen, and hope and peace and joy and deliverance and victory, restoration, healing, breakthrough, peace, strength, provision. Hallelujah, is already on its way. So your shout in the wilderness is preparing, amen, for the Lord to show up. That's why we don't sit. Amen, the Apostle Paul said, I learned to find contentment in whatever condition that I am in, whatever state that I'm in, not state as in place, but state as in dilemma, situation, circumstance. If I'm in prison, hallelujah, I've learned that I can rest and I can trust, even though I'm shackled and I'm bleeding. Amen. If I'm on a ship, amen, out in the middle of the ocean, and the storm is raging, amen, and the ship is falling apart, I learn that I can find contentment, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I'm talking about your shouts in the wilderness. John was dressed in clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He didn't look like the average preacher, if I can say it like that. He looked like he'd been in the wilderness. His diet even consisted of locusts and wild honey. His diet was a wilderness diet. He didn't eat the things that others ate. He didn't wear the things that other people wore. He didn't try to cover up the fact that his purpose in the wilderness was to shout and prepare for the coming of redemption. So we don't need to try to cover up an act like, y'all know I'm transparent. I've had pastors and preachers tell me, you tell too much. You need to, I'm right there with you.
Right.
That way when I'm suffering, you can suffer with me. Yep. And when you're suffering, I can suffer with you. Yep. I should be able to wash your feet. You should be able to wash my feet. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's the problem. Praise God. We try to cover up. Amen. The camel's hair. Amen. The loincloth made of camel's hair and the leather belt. We try to act like we're not forced to eat a wilderness diet.
Well.
But nonetheless, he never went hungry.
Right.
He never went without. I've never been without. In the wilderness.
Amen. Amen.
He's always been faithful to take care of me. Because you see, God positions us in the wilderness for a purpose. Amen. It's there we find our voice. In the wilderness is where we find our shout. Amen. See, it's easy to shout like everybody else. It's easy to give the normal shout. It's easy to yell amen. It's easy to yell praise the Lord like everybody else. When the preacher or the worship leader says, everybody shout, it's easy to everybody raise your voice, but you really find your shout when you're in the wilderness. You really find your voice, that call in the Hebrew. That God recognizes from the moment that you let out your first cry, the day that you breathed your first breath, when you were birthed, amen, from your mother's womb, that first cry, God identifies with your voice. He knows who you are. He knows your cry. Can I tell you, so does the enemy. See, when you go through the wilderness and you find your voice, when everybody is shouting, your shout stands out to heaven. Are you with me? Amen. It's not like just, you know, everybody shouting because it's the thing to do or it's the sound to make. But God positions us in the wilderness so that we can find our shout. That's where we find our cry. That's where we find that place. See, the pain reveals purpose. Because of my genetics and the genes that I have, the red hair genes that I have in my family and in me, it takes a lot to numb pain for me. I can't have a tooth pulled, or I can't have something. They can't cut on my gums with just one shot. And I remember the first time I found that out when I was 21. They were taking my wisdom teeth out, and they didn't put me to sleep. I wasn't asleep. I was awake, and he numbed me like everybody else, and he started drilling, and I was like, he's like, can you feel that? Uh-huh. Don't you hate when Dennis, makes me crazy. The hygienist is all up in your mouth, and she's asking you questions.
I know. What's worse, they can't understand.
I'm like, shut up, dude. Just fix it. Just work. But he's like, can you feel that? Uh-huh. So he gives me another shot. Is it time? He starts working again.
Oh,
you can still feel that? Uh-huh. Are you sure? Uh-huh. So he gives me another shot. Let's it go. And he starts working. Still feel it, but it wasn't. It didn't bring pain like the other two. So I just decided we didn't finish. So I dealt with it. So now it's on my chart. See the dentist. They have to give me at least 3 doses. And sometimes when they get up in there, I'm like, yeah. And then the problem is takes a long time for it to wear off.
Yeah.
So then, you know, then you deal with that. So the pain sometimes when you're in the wilderness can feel like it's intolerable.
Yeah.
With the disappointment when you feel that desolation, when you feel that coldness and that darkness, even though you pray, you don't feel the closeness to God. But you have to know tonight that the pain reveals purpose. There's a purpose in that pain. See, it works to transition us into a spiritual growth and development. See, we get too focused on God moving us into our calling and moving us into what we dream about, when God's desire is just to move us into a deeper relationship with Him. All the other stuff will come. But that pain that we're feeling, that separation that we're experiencing in the wilderness, it's working to transition us. It's working to move us into a spiritual growth and development. That's why you don't wait until you're out of the wilderness to shout. But you shout when you're in the wilderness, because it's there that you find your voice. Now, remember, at the Jordan, again, the voice of God came to Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with Him." This happened another time to Jesus when He was at the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah appeared, and the voice of God came down and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But when He was on the cross, nothing. Silence. No voice coming down in His pain and His agony and His separation and in that darkness and in that cold and that place, that spiritual wilderness that Jesus was in. There was no voice to say, "I got you. I see you. I'm pleased with you." But Jesus cried with a loud voice. Jesus cried out with a loud voice. I need somebody to understand that sometimes we don't get a word from heaven. Sometimes we don't hear confirmation, but heaven needs our shout here from earth to understand that we will be faithful and that we will trust Him and that we will know that whatever the pain, whatever the circumstances, whatever that wilderness that we're going in, we will stay faithful. We will remain steadfast. Because see, Jesus was about to transition to a place spiritually that would change His position forever. He left heaven in however it happened. He left heaven and He came to earth through a supernatural birth. And he walked this earth. He was the Word made flesh. And God confirmed to him, I'm pleased with what you're doing. And he let others know. See, we don't have to worry about other people finding out. You ever be in that place where you're in the wilderness and the enemy, you really just want others to know the truth. But God will affirm your position in Him. God will justify. He'll show. That's why I've learned to be quiet. There's times that you need to speak up. But I've learned to be quiet, to be still, and let the Holy Ghost reveal. Sometimes when you get those messages and those texts of critical words, unjust, sometimes you just let it be. Sometimes you just say nothing. And God will show His favor and His blessing. Jesus came and He died and He resurrected. And so when He was on the cross, He was about to transition, because He'll never be crucified again. Therefore, He was the one and only resurrection. He remains at the right hand of the Father. He's going to be getting up here soon and coming back. He'll be coming back. But His position is secure. That transition that He was about to make when He cried with a loud voice. Sometimes we're in the wilderness, we'll ask God, just give me a word. Give me a sign. Something and nothing. Because it's at that time heaven needs your shout from earth. So that's why, don't wait until you're out of the wilderness to shout. But shout in the wilderness. Because you're preparing for the Lord to show up. Because I promise you, He's going to show up. I promise you, He's going to show up. If I'm honest, I'm in the wilderness right now. And it's been more than a few weeks, it's been more than a month, it's been longer than a year. But learn to trust Him.
Amen.
In the wilderness, it's there you find your shout, you find your voice. And your shout brings the future into your present. So that when you lay your head down at night and you still feel that heaviness, you still feel and still sense the atmosphere of the wilderness, but there's more fields that are uncultivated than there are cultivated, when it seems that you're standing there all by yourself. No one understands. I've learned that they're not supposed to. I don't struggle with that. I used to think, well, you just don't understand. I realized that most are not supposed to understand. It's not meant for them to understand. because your pain is to reveal purpose in you. And so, tonight, I'm going to preach from this perspective with John and being in the wilderness and the shout from the wilderness. And I don't know who God is talking to besides me. Maybe it's just me, but I have a little bit of inkling that it's not. But to encourage you tonight that are in this wilderness. Some of you might be sitting here thinking, I really don't know what he's talking about. Well, buckle up, Betty. Because if you want a deeper relationship with God, you're going there. You have to. He'll send you there. Jesus went 40 days when he came out of Jordan, 40 days and 40 nights without food and water, and he fasted. And as it came to an end, Satan showed up and tempted him. But he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, that's bringing your shout in the wilderness. That's bringing the future into the present. Finding your voice and your shout. And say, come to the music tonight. And you sing with me all across this house. God's telling us, don't wait until you're out to shout. But shout when you're in the wilderness. Because see, when you worship, you invite the presence of God to come in. As I said, I've been in services and the anointing and the presence of God so overwhelming, even received words, prophetic words that I knew were from God. But when you go home, you're still in the wilderness. So you gotta shout. Find your shout. Find your voice in the wilderness. It's not a place. John knew his position. John knew his placement in the wilderness. He was willing to stand out. He was willing to be clothed. He was willing to look like a caveman, if I can say it like that. He was willing to survive on locusts. Locusts are edible insects. They're a delicacy in some places, but I don't believe that they were a delicacy for John. See, I'd have a hard time getting past that crunchy outer layer. Are you hearing me? Being satisfied that was enough. Now, I don't like honey. I hate the taste of honey. Now, there's a lot of different theories on the honey. A lot of people think that honey was not necessarily bees honey, but sap from trees. The word honey is translated as a sweet substance. So, you know, they theorize that it could have been just any kind of sweet substance. You know, the land of Canaan is a land filled with milk and honey. Regardless of what it wasn't what everybody else was eating. And he had to become satisfied. That when others packed their lunch and they brought bread and fish and they brought wine, that John
had to be content with crunching on a locust. You wouldn't even have to deep fry them. See, they already. Okay. Trying to help you understand. The wilderness isn't always the best place to eat. Your favorite food isn't always served up in the wilderness, but it's provision. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. So sometimes you got to look like the wilderness. You got to eat what's in the wilderness. But you don't wait till you're out to shout.
Amen.
You shout in the wilderness, and it prepares the way for the Lord to show up, bringing in all that he has. I wish I could pull you out of the wilderness, and I wish you could pull me out of the wilderness. But we can't. Because remember, we can't decide. But see, again, that's let me remind you, that gives us hope. Because we know if he let us in there, he's going to bring us out.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to experience the fullness. It's a place of transition. So as they get ready to worship tonight, should there be anybody here whose relationship with God is not well? Maybe your heart has grown cold. Maybe it's the wilderness that has brought you to that place because you didn't understand. You're waiting to get out to shout and worship. But God's telling you tonight, don't wait until you get out to shout, but shout from the wilderness. So maybe tonight somebody's relationship is lukewarm. Give the opportunity to reignite that passion and that fire. See, we wait on God to do that. That just like casting down the thoughts and the strongholds, you gotta discipline yourself. You gotta come to his presence. Come to his presence. And he'll meet you there. So if that's you tonight, I want you to come. But as there might be one deliberating or one considering, if you're in here tonight and you say, I'm in the wilderness and I don't want to wait till I get out to shout, but I want to find my voice. I received this word tonight. I believe there's purpose in my pain. I believe. I want you to come. We want to pray with you tonight as they begin to worship.